This morning, and they'll wonder, is it as simple as that? And the answer is yes, it is. It is as simple as that. The Lord speaks, and the child of God is transitioned and given life in Him through His voice. I had somebody tell me one time about just how simple eternal life was, and that is that they would hear the gospel, that they would respond to the gospel, that they would believe in Jesus Christ, that they would live a life of holiness, and they will be saved. And I said, brother, I can cut out a lot of steps for you. The Lord speaks, and they have life, and they're His, and they're saved. They're going to glory. It's that easy. And we thank the Lord for His work in that, and completing it from beginning to end. My mind this morning is in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I'm going to make a few comments here from this particular chapter. The scripture reads, if I start reading with verse 1, the Apostle Paul, you know, one of the things that, let me read first and then we'll begin to make a few comments here from these verses. Verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. One of the things that we should reconcile our minds with is that the Scripture does not leave out the instruction to any child of God. It doesn't just speak to the middle-aged It doesn't just speak to the elderly. It doesn't just speak to the babes. The instruction is given to all of the above. It contains the instruction for each and every age group, each and every, whether it be male or female, the instruction is provided for all. And I venture to say that anyone can find themselves in the categories that the Apostle Paul mentions in Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He mentions the children. Well, I think we can all say we're children, can we not? We were brought into this world by parents. And even if our parents have gone home to be with the Lord, and we can say it's not our responsibility to obey them anymore, we can find ourselves under the category of being children of a Father in heaven. He mentions children. He mentions fathers. He mentions in the verses after where I stopped reading to you, servants and masters. He lays out the necessities for anyone from any walk of life to be able to say that I've received instructions from the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise. You know, if you're familiar with your Old Testament scriptures, you'll know that that's not the first commandment. It's the fifth, I believe. It's fifth or sixth. It may be, don't hold me to it. But you say, well, it says it's the first. It's the first commandment with a promise. In other words, there's a promise attached to this that in doing so, listen to what the blessings are. That it shall be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Those that give proper respect and reverence to their mothers and to their fathers, here's what the Lord says that He'll bless you with in return. It'll be well with you. Whenever we bow our heads, our prayer should be that all would be well with us and with ours, and that we would live long on the earth. That shows me that honoring and respecting your parents is correlated to your health and your well-being. Shows me that. Tells me that spirituality has something to do with your well-being, does it not? You know, almost anybody that you meet with, I don't know about you, but I just went through the first stages of my health assessment through our health insurance. My next one's coming up in 2 weeks. That's when I have to hit the scales and they have to tell me what my fat content is of my body and things like that. I actually have to go through the examination. But you know, the first step of it is I have to go through a questionnaire. I have to tell them how much I eat of a certain thing every day. And there's not a problem as far as quantity whenever I'm filling out one of those. Whenever I ask for a certain number of servings of each of these things, I'm always in the bottom column of each and every week. How many times do you eat red meat per week? You know, the last column is 3 or more times a week. And I was thinking, I'm definitely in the bottom column on that. How many times do you eat vegetables? I eat plenty of those. The quantity is not a problem. But one of the things that most of them will ask you is about whether or not you attend church, whether or not you do things that are related to your spirituality, because that in and of itself is related to your health. He tells us here about being not only, this is about not only being spiritually healthy, but naturally healthy as well. Well, it's the next verse. Today's Father's Day, fathers. And I don't pretend to try to speak on something because of the holiday that it may be in society, but if it's on my mind, I'll try to be faithful to talk to you about it. Tells us about an instruction to fathers. The scriptures give us instructions to daddies, to fathers. And he tells here the church at Ephesus. You know, one of the things that a lot of people would claim is, you know, we just need to establish ourselves in grace, and we need to leave the instruction off and don't worry about saying so much about the instruction. They'll get it. They'll get it. You know, I believe that that sort of attitude is what has generated a lot of practices in the church that don't belong. It's because men have not been faithful to teach everything from this, from where I stand today. And they think you need a separate service in order to teach certain things. You need to teach grace from where I stand today. You need to teach the instruction from where I stand today. Both are necessary and both need to be done. And here he's telling them in a letter. He didn't separate it. It may be a different portion, a different chapter, but he didn't say, I'll write you a separate letter regarding instruction and one regarding doctrine. He wrote them both in the same letter to the church at Ephesus, and he's instructing them from the same. He says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If the Lord will be with us for just a few minutes this morning, I want to touch on ways that earthly fathers can model their heavenly father in being a good father. You know, there's some things you can't do that God does. I'm not going to pretend to make you God this morning, because there's things that God does that we can't do. Brother Virgil's touched on one this morning. Brother Virgil has shown us that whenever the Lord speaks to a dead alien sinner and gives them life, that they respond that there's no way that they can deny the voice of the Lord God Almighty. I can't tell you, fathers, in modeling yourselves after our God, our Father, that every time that you speak, that your children are going to respond like that. I can't give you those sort of promises today. But I can list some things to you that the Scriptures plainly tell us that fathers are responsible for, that God gives us the model for. God is our model. God is the model whereby we derive this role as fathers in the lives of our families. He's mentioned in Scripture as being the Father. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. He is the Father. You ever heard anyone describe someone as being the man? In other words, he's the man. And that means that he's the standard by which the rest of us derive whether or not we qualify as being good enough. Well, God is the Father. He's the model. He is the one that the standards and specifications are set forth. He is the Father. He's not only the Father, the Scripture describes Him as being our Father. Our Father. He says in the opening verses of His letter to the church at Ephesus, that grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Father. He's our Father. He's a heavenly Father. Do we remember the times and the accounts that the Lord Jesus Christ refers to Him as being our Heavenly Father? And it's because He's in heaven and in immortal glory, and that's where His abode is. And He's described as being a Heavenly Father. He's the Father. He's our Father. He's a Heavenly Father. He is our model. And there's some things that He's given us that the Apostle Paul mentions here that we can give unto our children and provide for our households just as He provides for His. It says, bring them up. Here's two of them in this verse. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture. I don't know about you, but there's certain times whenever I see terms in the Scripture that automatically my mind goes to a certain thing. When I read about nurturing something, I think about a garden. That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Have you ever just planted a garden and not done anything to it? Have you ever just put that seed in the ground, walked off, and left it? Never came back to make sure that the weeds didn't come up in the garden. Never came back to provide proper fertilizer to the garden. Never came back to take off the fruit that are on the branches of the garden, but you just let it be. You know, I remember one time whenever we lived over on Nally Road, my landlord, they left to go on a vacation. And he said, if you'll tend to my garden for me, Anything that's in it's yours. You can have whatever you want out of it. Well, I didn't realize what an agreement I had entered into until I looked over and saw what all he had planted. And he had a bunch of it. He had a bunch of plants in that garden. He had planted a lot of okra. You know, okra is something you don't have to plant a whole lot of in order to have plenty of it. You know what I mean? A stalk of okra will keep you fed for a while. Well, he had a whole row of it from about here to the back of the lunchroom. And every afternoon, whenever I'd get home, it was all I could do. I'd get my knife and I'd go to town around okra, and it would spine me and stick me, and I'd do what I could to try to stay ahead of it. And after a few days into it, we had enough okra that it was going to last us for a while. I said, I'm off telling you, when I get back, it's just, I couldn't stay ahead of it. I couldn't tend to it. I couldn't stay ahead. It would have taken somebody about 3 or 4 hours a day in order to stay ahead. And here he had a garden that already had fruit, and all it needed to be done was the fruit to be tended to, and it was too much. And by the time he got back, it didn't like he cared. If he'd have cared, he would have certainly thought more about whether or not he was going to go on vacation before he planted such a big garden. But have you ever planted one and never nourished it? Never made sure that it had what it needed in order to be able to bring forth a healthy fruit, and to be able to have what it needed in order to be able to be gleaned, in order to have the fruit off of the stalk thereof? Well, you know, one of the things that you'll quickly find is if you put a seed in the ground and you never come back to remove the weeds out of it, or if you never add any fertilizer to it, you will not have much of a fruit whenever you return to it. It will not be anything that will be profitable unto you. And the same charge goes to a father in a home. The statistics are overwhelming. You ever looked at the statistics of people that are in prison? People that have taken their own life? People that have, in some form or fashion, at a young age, done something that's even beyond our minds this morning. And you look and you see the statistics that come forth that these people come out of what are termed as fatherless homes. They don't have a daddy in the home. And I'd venture to say that even some of those that check no as to whether or not they have a daddy in the home, that many more have a daddy in the home that do nothing, that do not nurture their children, that don't do anything to provide for their help. And I'm not talking about just naturally. I'm talking about spiritually. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you take that charge seriously? And that is that it's your responsibility to ensure and to ground your children in the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You say, hold on a minute now, Brother Will. That's why we bring them here. It's a good place to start. But if the only grounding and the only nourishment they get is what they get here, it will not, let me tell you right here, it'll be on record, it will not be enough. Won't be enough. If you give me an hour and the rest of this world has the other 6 days, it will not get it done. You must bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You need to bring them to the house of the living God so that they can have what they need in order to have that nutrients and that nourishment. But if you don't feed it during the week, if all you do is just feed it one time a week, it will not be a healthy plant. It will not be a healthy child. Don't pawn off what your responsibility is onto the church. It's your responsibility to do this, fathers.
Amen.
It belongs to you. God gave them you as arrows are in the hands of a mighty man. So are children of their youth, is what the scripture says. In other words, you have an opportunity with a young child to guide them just as the arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, to get them going in the direction that they need to go. We need help in it. There's no doubt about it. You need the help from the Lord. Even Paul admitted, even though he had done the planting and that the Apollos had watered, who gave the increase? God gave the increase. Even though you may plant or I may plant, and even though you may water or I may water, God still gives the increase. We need the help of one another. We need the help of our Lord God Almighty. But he says here that you're supposed to provide this nurture and admonition in the Lord. It's your responsibility. We ought to take it very seriously. So often these days, instead of taking it seriously, we take it for granted. It's our responsibility. You know, one of the things that I've never understood is whenever I drive by a church sign, or whenever I see, I got a letter in the mail inviting me to someone's vacation Bible school the other day.
And I know the people who are there, they're good people. They're praying people. And I'm not making fun of them. And if you leave here and say, Brother Will, I'm not doing it. But one of the things that I saw is that it begins at 11 every day. It begins at 11 o'clock in the morning. They provide lunch. They provide activities in the afternoon. And parents are welcome to attend the 4 o'clock session. And I thought to myself, how somebody would just drop them off and just say, go in and learn whatever else it is that they're going to teach you, as opposed to going with them, as opposed to bringing them up and them taking the responsibility and say, I'm going to bring them. I'm going to sit there with them. This is my job. One of the more beautiful things about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is that you look out across here this morning and you see families seated together for the purpose of worship. They're together. And the reason why you shouldn't leave them here is you should hear everything that everything I tell them you should hear. Things that I say wrong, and I'm a human and I'm going to. I've done it and I'll probably do it again in the future. Things that I may need to correct or I could have said better. You need to elaborate. You need to show them it's your job. Fathers. People say, well, I let my wife take care of that. I need to Sunday to take care of the lawn. I work 6 other days. I don't have any time to cut the grass. I don't have any other time to take care of, look at who the charge is to. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's high time for the daddies to step up and to say, this is my responsibility. Our Father in heaven, has He not provided a place for us with such a nurturing environment? It's known as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in it today, it's a nurturing environment that He's given you, that He's nurturing you, giving you the help, giving you the fertilizer, giving you the hoe to take to the weeds in your life so that you can enjoy and glean the fruits thereof. I tell you, you need to glean them and enjoy them. Just like any natural fruit that's in a garden, any natural stalk, if you don't tend to it and take the fruit off of it, the fruit overbears the stalk and you don't have any joy from it. Well, the things that we enjoy at the house of God, oh, the fruit that we get to eat. I tell you, you know, I was thinking yesterday as I cut around my grapevines. I tell you, I am so excited about the fact that 5 years ago I planted a grapevine. And every year I've tried to take care of that thing, and man, they're so finicky. I think I burned up just as many as I planted and had to replant them again because I was adding too much fertilizer to it, or either I wasn't adding enough. Daddy would come up and look at them and say, son, they ain't going to grow without fertilizer. So I'd add fertilizer. I'd burn them up. Here we go again. We'd plant them again. Well, now I've got just a whole cable full of thank the Lord, grapes that are growing on this vine. And they're little old bitty things right now. But I can tell them just, and I thought to myself how beautiful it would have been to be one of those children of Israel that saw those 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan that brought back those grapes upon that vesture that was between them that they had that grapevine upon. How beautiful of a sight that must have been to see those grapes that came from Canaan. And I thought to myself, I've seen more beautiful things than that. I've seen the glory of the living God at the house of God and gleaned from the grapes thereof. I believe I've tasted of the wine from them. I believe I've enjoyed them. And I tell you, whenever we're blessed to be able to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's many fruits to glean thereby. There's joy in seeing a child be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, bring them up in the nurture. Listen now. And admonition of the Lord. You say, I'm tending to them. I'm giving them the fertilizer. I'm taking the hoe to my garden. If you think about it in terms of an animal nourishing a small calf, you know, a calf or a small sheep, they require nourishment. Hands-on nourishment. I remember growing up on the farm, there were times when a mama cow wouldn't make it through a delivery. Sometimes they wouldn't even be alive when the calf would be born. And we'd have to bring that calf in. And back in my daddy's harder days, we just put it in the corral. Put some hay down there and put it in the corral. After he got grandchildren, I heard that he'd open up his office up there. And by the way, this is a handy house with a restroom in it. If you're wondering what the office is, it's not like he's got a carpeted tile floor up there. And so he'd bring that little calf in there and let it lay on the floor there in front of his desk. Because twice a day that calf had to be nourished. It had to be provided with milk. And it was a job, because we had to make sure that it didn't matter what day of the week it was, that calf had to have nourishment. They had to be nourished. But whenever you're considering a child, whenever you're considering our children, it says they need nourishment, says they need admonition. That means correction. That means a spanking. If you're a daddy today and you've never had to spank your child, and I'm not talking about no two-month-old, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We have a joke around our house: is Nichols behaving today? How many spankings has he had? You know what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you chasing an infant. I'm saying you admonish and chasing a child. If you're a father today and you've never had to do it, it's a rarity, and odds are you probably missed a few opportunities where it needed to be capitalized upon. I've never seen a child yet that didn't need one every once in a while. I've never seen one that didn't need one every once in a while. Children need to be admonished. They need to be corrected. They need to be taught to behave. They need to be taught what proper behavior is. They need to be taught that. Whenever they're given the new birth, the Lord gives them a will and capacity to be able to mind. But if you don't take that will and capacity whenever the Lord has changed them and guide it and direct it and bring it into, bring the natural man that they have into captivity. Now we understand the new birth, you know, adds another nature to them. But if you don't tend to that natural Adamic nature that they've got a little bit, and corral it in. That's the word I'm looking for. Corral it in somewhat. Sometimes it won't manifest itself till a few years down the road, but you'll see it. And by the time you see it and it gets out of hand, it's already too late to do anything about it. It's already too late. You know, there's times we go places, and if you say, "Brother Will, it sounds like you're bragging." If you take it that way, then you forgive me for bragging. I'm not doing that. I'm giving an example today. But we go to restaurants sometimes and people come up to us and are amazed that our children behave. And whenever somebody does it, it is touching that people would observe and see children, my children behave. I'm thankful they said it, but what crosses my mind is I've never known any other way than to make a child mine and to make him behave. And there's no doubt about it other than I'm not telling you that it's something that's easy this morning. I'm not telling you that it's been all easy going, especially with the fourth one that we've had. It has been over and over and over again. It is over and over, it seems like daily. But I trust that the Lord will finally bless the efforts of admonishing that child and that he will behave. The scripture tells me to not let my soul hurt because of the spankings that has had to be given. But whenever somebody observes a child that behaves, the thing that crosses my mind is, why don't they all behave? Why is the world in the shape it's in? Why is the homes in the shape it's in? Is it because the Lord left off instruction? Or is it because man will not follow God's model for a home? I believe it's the latter. I believe the Lord's given us plenty. And I believe that the church of the living God should be the model for this world. You can't change this world. You can't evangelize this world. How about that? People say, "Brother Will, you sound awful despondent, downtrodden." The thing that you can do is be the model of truth and the model of godliness and the model of morality, so that those that are in the world that desire to walk with the Lord can come out of the world and come to the place where the Lord has still established judgment and truth and righteousness. And it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the model. The Apostle Peter says as much in 1 Peter chapter 4 whenever he tells us that you are the model. He says it exactly, if I turn over there to 1 Peter chapter 4, the scripture says that the time has come. That judgment must begin at the house of God. Where is that? That's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That judgment must begin here. He says that judgment must begin there. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? He says that there's a responsibility that rests on your shoulders. You're responsible for establishing the right way to, or for continuing in the way that the Lord has established to bring up a child in the nurture and admonition of Him. He's established the definition and bounds of marriage in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever wondered why the world has got such a perverted view of it? Look at how the church over the past 30 or 40 years has viewed that institution, and how whether or not somebody has a right to be married continues forth. It begins here. And if it begins here, if you can't get it right here, what shall be the end of the women that are in this world? It's going to become even more and more confusing. You know, I went to a service one time. I ain't going to get off on that because it'll take me too long to tell it. I ain't going to get off on it. I wanted to, and because I wanted to, my mind's already there and I'm going to have trouble leaving it, but I'm going to leave it. He says, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. In other words, you need nourishment. These are things that God the Father gave you that you can provide, fathers, to your house. Admonition. Has the Lord not corrected you? Maybe you're one of the rare ones that the Lord has never had to pull a switch to. Let me say this. Maybe you just didn't want to acknowledge who it was that was switching you. But He's had to pull it on me. And I tell you, I look back on it, even though it's not pleasant as you're going through it, I look back at the times, and I'm thankful that He used it. I look back on the times that my earthly daddy used it, and I'm thankful that He used it. I look back and wonder how He didn't use it more than He did. But I'm thankful at the times that I can look back and see that my earthly father used it. And I tell you, your children may not look at you right now with thanksgiving in their eyes, but whenever they're grown one day, whenever they're on their way and they've got their families and they got their children to raise, I remember thinking at one point in time that whenever I get older, because my parents were strict about what they let us watch on TV, and they weren't near as strict as we are. But I remember thinking at one point in time that if I ever get old enough, I ain't going to ever worry about what my kids watch. I'm not going to ever be concerned about what they watch. What is the big deal? What is the big deal about what they see on TV? And I look back and I'm so thankful that my parents watched over and shielded us for the extent that they did. Because they were providing a nurturing environment for us. Just as this admonishment is given unto us to provide unto our children. Love. What about the love that God provides for you? And the way that He manifests His love toward you. You know, the scripture tells us in the previous chapter from the one that I've read to you, the admonishment is given unto husbands to love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. That's an admonishment for husbands to love their wives. And you say, hold a minute, now it's Father's Day. It's not Husband's Day. Why are we touching on the responsibility of the husband? Well, if you're a father, I trust that you're a husband this morning. And the scripture is given unto you an admonition to love your wife. And in doing so, and showing, you know, love is not just a, boy, I have a deep yearning feeling in my heart for my wife. I am emotionally attached to her. No, it's a verb. It means that it requires doing. It requires doing something. It requires doing acts of love towards her so that you manifest it, and in doing so, and in loving your wife, you're providing an environment so that your children can see love. They can see love in action. They can see that. You know, just as I believe that because you love a child, you're chasing them. Because you love a child, you let them know you love them. You know, I don't think, you know, some people are, you know, and I don't say this to be negative, so don't take it that way. But you know, some people are almost hands off with children as far as hugging them, as far as showing any love to them, as far as touch. Well, you know, I take the same approach with the touch to show them you love them as the touch that's necessary to chase them. You show me how you can chasing them without touching them, and I'll show you that you can love them without touching. I believe that in chastening, there needs to be some contact made, and in loving them, there needs to be some contact made so that you understand, so that they can feel, literally feel the love of their father, so that you're in a loving environment for the Lord. You know, I can think back to my earliest memories. My earliest memories contain a manifestation of love from my mom and daddy to me. I can't remember a time when I felt neglected by my mom and daddy. They've loved me and done for me. And as I think about the natural love that they've shown me, the only thing that it can lead to is a greater manifestation of the love that our Heavenly Father has given us and the model that He's established. Has He not touched you in His love? Has He not literally made His abode in your heart? And does He not dwell with you because of the love that He has for you? I believe that He does. I believe that the nurture, the admonition, and the love is something that the Lord has shown us, that the Lord has provided for us so that earthly fathers can provide it to their children as well. Two more, very brief. Another one is whenever you think about the way that God has provided for you and all the things that the Lord has made sure that you have plenty of. God, our God is a God of providence, a God of that provides for His. You know, I've made this example before, but it fits, and I'm going to say it again. There's a multitude of reasons that people have given as to why God created man last. And there's a lot of them that I can go with and say amen and amen. If He had created them first, man would have gotten done and turned around whenever everything else was created and said, look at what I did. Man does enough of saying, look what I did, taking credit away from God. The Lord knew that, and the Lord created him last. He was brought into a created world. But one of the reasons why I think it is true that the Lord created man last is because everything that man needed to survive, God had provided for him already when He put him in that garden. Everything that man needed was there. And just as everything that man needed was there in that garden, God has provided for us. Give us this day our daily bread. He gives us our daily bread. He gives us our sustenance that's needed naturally. I believe that He provides our sustenance spiritually for us at the house of the living God, so that He provides for us in accordance with His will. It is a father's responsibility to provide for his family and to provide for his children. The Scripture tells us that he that won't do it hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel, is what the Scripture describes a man that will not provide for his own. You know, a lot of people look at that and say, well, I'll make sure that there's food in the pantry. There's plenty of food. You think that's the only thing that is telling you that is your responsibility to provide for your children? I don't, not for a second. I believe that one that won't provide things, everything that his household needed, hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That is strong language, fathers. That is strong language, and you can't get away from it. The Lord has put you in charge of this, has made you responsible for this. You know, lastly, and boy, you could spend more time on this one than you could probably spend on any of the other ones. Whenever you think about how the Lord has imparted wisdom unto you as your father in this book, this whole book is a book of God's wisdom that He has handed you and said, here's my word, here's my testimony, here's my testimony. He's imparted, look at the wisdom that He's imparted unto you and given you this. He's given you wisdom that is far beyond anything natural that you can ever compare it to. You know, there's decisions that I face today that I refuse to face them until I've talked to my daddy about it. I will not pull the trigger. I will not make a decision about it until I've talked it through with him, because he's tread these shoes long before I've been through. There's things that I talk to him about with brethren of the church that they have tread, that they've walked these paths before, and I want them to hear what my thoughts are before I enter into it, because they are wiser than me. You say, Brother Will, you're our pastor now. You mean to tell me that you're going to attribute with, you better believe I will in a New York minute, because they've walked them before. They know what the anguish is in your mind and in your heart about the things that lie before you. And I tell you, if you're talking to the right one, they will not hesitate to tell you that they have made a mistake with that sort of frame of mind before. You know, some people that are high-minded will never admit that they ever made a mistake, and they won't be much good to you. But those that you can talk to that will say, I know exactly what you're thinking, and I've thought that before, and I made the same decision you're about to make, and let me tell you why I was wrong whenever I did it. Wisdom from a father to their children. you face things, you know, it's a little worse now probably than what we faced whenever I came up through. It's worse. Some of the things that my children are going to face are worse now than they were whenever I came through. And whenever I did not come through in the glad, happy days of the 50s, I can tell you that, of whenever everybody could just leave their doors unlocked. You know, some people still do. My grandma, until she left to go to the nursing home, she never locked her door. If anybody ever locked it, we'd have to break a window out to get into it because there was no key. She left it unlocked. But not that way anymore. Not that way. It's a little rougher. But if I can tell my children anything, if I can give them, if I can impart any wisdom that the Lord has blessed me to be able to learn, that the Lord has blessed me sometimes through learning through this word, or sometimes through learning through experience that I can relate to this word, it's my responsibility to give it to them so that they can either make a better decision than I did or make the right decision whenever they face it. Fathers, it's an admonishment that the Lord has given us. It's a charge and it's a responsibility. Bring your children up in the nurturing admonition of the Lord, that we give them a loving environment, that we impart unto them the wisdom, that we provide for them in accordance with what the Lord has told us to and how He's told us to in His Word. You know, sometimes to even think about the responsibilities that rest on our shoulders, and I'm not talking about just daddies right now, I'm talking about mamas and daddies. When you consider the responsibility, I understand that it can be overwhelming. But you know, we serve a God that's able to support you through it. He's able to keep you upright and to be a buckler unto them that trust in Him. You know, that buckler is not something that goes on your shoe. That's a shield to the fiery darts of the devil that He'll throw at you here in this world. The Lord said He'll leave those things to us. May the Lord bless us to look to God, the model of our Father, and establish our homes and establish our ways in accordance with the way that He teaches us, that He, His Word, that He does.